personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
We have a little bit of breaking news this week, Dal. Literally, like 8 minutes ago, I got the Twitter update. Next year, Amazon has signed on with the NFL to air a Black Friday football game at 3 p.m.
Just a blank screen?
So, I am actually not really into this at all. Why do we need football on Black Friday? Like, we're already putting three games on Thanksgiving Day, and that's all good and fun. Why do we need Friday football for one particular week?
What's wrong with you?
I don't
asking if we need, why do we need football on another day?
It feels watering down of the Thanksgiving football experience.
Bring it on. Bring it on. You can never have too many days of football.
Potentially true, but every now and then I get thrown off by the weird random times they'll throw an NFL game onto a random day.
To me, that one's there. That's like the reverse football widow. That's for the football widower. It's the day after Thanksgiving. Maybe the moms and sisters-in-law and everybody goes shopping, and you don't want to. You stay home and watch football. Thank you, NFL. We'll take it.
Well,
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's what we're getting next year on Black Friday. We're getting a random... we do not yet know the teams, so this could turn into a Thursday night football affair. But speaking of Thursday night football...
Hail to the whatever they are now.
So many dropped footballs in that. And you know, I've been giving Mooney crap because this was, you know, the game winner that he dropped.
He did not drop it.
It hit him in both hands.
It was defended.
Let me just tell you what every coach I've ever played with has told me, Dal. If it touches your hands, you catch it.
And if you can't play, you coach.
The most repulsive drop, though, I've ever witnessed was that fourth and whatever it ended up being, 15 or something. And we actually had a receiver get his 1 yard of separation that an NFL player, like, that's the NFL standard. You're not really usually going to get wide open. And Fields actually put the football on him, and Smith Marset had it hit him in both hands right at the first down marker, and he started running before he caught it on fourth down.
What's interesting to me is the Bears.
The run after catch is not nearly as important on fourth down. Just make the catch and get your first.
The interesting thing about the Bears is that they play on Thursday, and then they don't play till Monday. So they actually have, I mean, they have
a miniature bye.
Yeah, a little bit.
It won't do them any good because you're going to play New England, and our offense is still as awful as it's ever been.
The resurgent Patriots with Bailey Zappe.
Yeah, the only benefit the Bears might have is that Mac Jones might be back. And he's probably worse than Bailey Zappe at this point.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that they'll make that change. See what happens.
But
you mean Drew Bledsoe? You mean Drew Bledsoe may not come back in? That's kind of what it feels like, doesn't
Bailey
it?
Bailey Brady is here, and he's not giving that job back. Speaking of, though, New England did give Bledsoe. People kind of forget that. When Bledsoe was healthy, he did get that job back. For two playoff games, and then Brady went back in for the Super Bowl, which to this day is always one of the weirdest things that ever happened in the history of football. Like, if you're going to go back to Bledsoe, just stay back with Bledsoe then, I guess. I mean, he's now won you two playoff games. Why would you go back to Bledsoe after Brady dominated, then change your mind just for the Super Bowl?
That's not even nearly the weirdest thing that's happened, though. I mean, really? We should probably just start with Kurt Warner.
Who my dad, still to this day, talks gleefully about saving his 1999 fantasy football team.
He should.
He said, you wouldn't believe the joy on my face when I picked up Kurt Warner in week three
of the
1999
that
season.
That still does not get nearly enough attention for what actually was going on in terms of that guy's life, and then turning into an NFL MVP and a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually undrafted guys like, oh, wow, they started for 5 years, and that's incredible. It really is.
Can you imagine, by the way? Granted, they ended up getting Eli Manning and 2 Super Bowls, so fine. But just for the sake of this joke.
Screw the Giants.
How about how they must feel about Kurt Warner goes to the Rams, wins a league MVP, takes them to 2 Super Bowls. He goes to the Cardinals. He takes them to their only Super Bowl in franchise history. Theoretically, should have won it.
Should have won it.
But Santonio Holmes turned into sticky fingers. And with arguably the greatest catch in Super Bowl history, and I say that knowing that the helmet catch happened. And then Kurt Warner's lone stint with the Giants. He was arguably the worst quarterback in football.
Well, certainly the worst stop of his career. What did you do?
I think keys fell on the ground.
Oh.
We must boo and boo loudly.
Aaron, let's get caught up where we're at here. As far as pick'em's concerned this week, I felt like I didn't do that bad this week. In fact, it looks like I am now above 500.
Yeah, we're now tied. Which is now what the competition is. It's just basically between you and I, because I don't think either of us are even looking at... What are we down, like 8?
I don't even know.
To first place? To my wife, of all people, who did have one of the great lines... We are down exactly 8 to McKenzie.
We can make that up.
As I turned to her and I said, who's the starting quarterback for the Raiders? And she said, I have no idea, but I know they're going to lose. And that was before Monday Night Football last week.
Dude, you should be gambling.
I said, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. She's basically just admitting, I don't really know anything about football, but I know who's going to win.
Yeah, this is like your own little version of Rain Man. You should be gambling on this.
So a couple of records of note from last week, though. Myles Garrett is now the Cleveland Browns' all-time career sack leader. He passes Clay Matthews. And I was sickened by the comments under the replies on both Facebook and Twitter when the Browns tweeted this. And no less than 50 people on each post, who I guess must not have access to Google, to simply just... If you have a question underneath a post like this, by the way, for anyone listening, and you're confused, Google it first before you make yourself sound like a doofus. The number of people that said, when did Clay Matthews play for the Browns? I thought he was always a Packer. Was disgusting to me.
Well, you must not spend much time on social media, Aaron, because that's what social media is... Somebody across the world or a region or whatever working diligently to put something together that's a passion, and they work hard, probably 80-hour weeks, and they put it together, and it comes together and it happens, and then some schmuck online can't even read half the headline and be bothered to know what's going on. That happens with what we do here at SVI. We'll spend all week preparing for a broadcast. Like, let's go back 2 weeks. We had a number one versus number two high school thing. Big deal for Western Wyoming high school football. You know, for just putting it in context, but still, big deal. Everybody knows. Everybody, you know, you're thinking is kind of involved, at least to the point where they know what's going on. This week, under the write up of one of I'm confident this person is not going to listen to the podcast, but this week, under the write-up of this next week's game, there was someone on Facebook who asked, so what happened last week? Do you know how disheartening that is when you literally are bringing high-definition streaming video through the wilderness of Western Wyoming and you can watch it on a device in your pocket. You can read about it. You can anything. We're rural, man.
The answer exists if you need it.
We are rural. We are the least populated state in the country, and we're doing this. And then you come up 2 weeks later and go, so what happened? I want to punch you right in the face.
Anyway, to answer the question, by the way, Clay Matthews is the name of 3 different NFL players throughout history, just so we're clear. So no, long-haired, Fabio McCheesehead is not the Cleveland Browns all-time sack leader. We are talking about his father. Thank you, everyone. Anyhow, Myles Garrett passed him, all-time Browns sack leader.
It didn't take long.
Bill Belichick has tied Papa Bear.
Yeah, Halas.
George Halas, the second most victories.
And he's now what?
In NFL history.
Like 20 games somewhere, 20-something games behind Don Shula?
Somewhere in that region.
I think it's 23 games. I think Halas is 324, and I think Shula's 347, something like that.
That general region.
Oh, yeah. What's funny is you go back a couple years, and you're like, I don't know if he's going to... Now it's like, oh, yeah. He's going to blow right past that. And the only way I could see him not passing Shula is if he literally decides he has so much reverence for the game that like he pulls something like that, which he could. People always think of Belichick as like this, I don't know, this little schemer. If you ever watched that thing he did with Rich Eisen, mm-hmm. where they counted down.
Oh, he loves the history of football.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if there's anybody who loves football more than he does. And he's... Yeah, he's very aware of the history in which he is walking. And honestly, the last 2 weeks, you look at the Patriots' wins the last 2 weeks, those are pure Belichickian. They really are. It's like, oh, backup quarterback, playing this team, this and that, this has struggled. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because you have this guy and this guy and this guy playing, and I'm going to scheme to win this week, and we're going to win.
And while we're talking about the AFC East... J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yay.
That salvaged my whole week. The Bears lost on Thursday,
Jets.
I said, oh, no, not the, yes, oh, the Jets have won. Everything is better, and I can have my kumbaya cake.
Just as long as you understand.
Love the world.
As long as you admit Zach Wilson had little to nothing to do with it.
I don't care. Yes, about but it's, Zach
admit
Wilson.
It. Admit it.
Sure.
He didn't do anything. In fact, I'm looking it up.
That's the only reason that you know the Jets exist right now is for your hate of Zach Wilson.
I hate everything Jets right now because of that.
Oh, the Jets were my favorite team in the NFL this previous week. So
yeah, because they beat the Packers. They've won three in a row now.
Yeah, they're 4-2.
Okay, so. The reason I hate Zach Wilson are many, but one of the main reasons is just because of the absolute hero worship garbage that happens where we live, which happens to be behind the Zion Curtain is what I call it. You're not in Salt Lake City or Utah, but you're very much in the influence mm-hmm. of Salt Lake City and Utah. And when I say that with, I can say that. I'm a Mormon. Mm-hmm. I live behind the Zion Curtain. In Western Wyoming. Anyway, I hate Zach Wilson. He went 10 of 18, which is what? What's the percent? 60%?
You're right about there.
For 110 total yards. Ooh.
But.
Wow.
He did go 1-0 head-to-head against Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just saying, the guy's more interested in your mother than playing football.
Well. As long as he keeps beating the Packers, he can be interested in whoever's mother he wants.
Here's what I'm excited about. I'm excited that Aaron is going to love my team this week.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to break out my commies. Clinton Portis, Washington jersey. I'm going to sit in front of my TV, and I am going to cheer for the Washington Command Football Skins as hard as I have ever cheered for anyone ever. It's going to be great. I hope Taylor Heinicke throws starting. For 500 yards. I'll send him lovely X and O dotted fan mail after the game. It'll be brilliant.
Who is it? Command?
Oh, the Command Football Skins.
I like that.
Okay.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that with my family. I like that so much. There before they picked Commanders, I was calling them the Fightin' Gibbs. Because of Joe Gibbs, obviously.
I spent a good solid portion of that first year that they were called the football team, calling them the X-Skins.
Well,
so
the thing that was nice when they were the football team was, if you shorten it down, Washington Football Team, WFT. And when they sucked, You just reversed it and went WTF.
It's beautiful. It works on so many levels.
Which they sucked a lot. So anyway, I was kind of getting used to that. But anyway, we ready for picks this week?
Oh, yeah. And first, though, one last game to kind of recap that we watched over this previous week. Buffalo, Kansas City, which I didn't actually get to see the ending to. I had to look up the highlight afterwards because Red Zone cut it.
Yeah. You got caught in the Red Zone vortex.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. But yes, Josh Allen.
Josh.
Leading the...
effing Allen.
The keep and the leap.
Yeah.
As... was stated on air.
What's awesome is there's this, there's a street in Orchard Park or in nearby, and it's called Hurdle, but it's H-U-R-T-L-E, you know, Hurdle Avenue or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this is like the third or fourth time that Josh Allen has jumped over some dude during a game. So they have like this fathead cardboard cutout of the picture of him hurdling whoever it was. His tongue is Reed, I think. And then they go and they actually have a little sticker and it covers up the hurdle. It looks just like a street sign. Still looks like a street sign.
Mm-hmm.
But it's spelled H-U-R-D-L-E, hurdle. And then there's this fat head of Josh Allen on top of the Crossways street signs hurdling the street sign. And apparently they've done this every time that he does one of these plays. And I retweeted it on my Twitter account if you want to look at it, at Dal Erickson, D-A-H-L. I have a weird name. You don't have to tell me. I know.
tell him anyway.
Yeah, you can if you want.
Down in the comments below.
But if you're like, that's just stupid, yeah, you're 45 years too late on that. anyway, it's cool. It's fun that they did this. But yeah, this one, dude. One of my favorite parts about it is there's footage of it, and it's from behind. So he's jumped the guy, runs a couple steps, gets pasted out of bounds,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just like panning the crowd, which is, you know, this is an Arrowhead,
mm-hmm.
and there's this kid, he's like 9 or 10, and it's not a surrender cobra, it's a surrender surprised cobra. So he's got his hands behind his head with the elbows out, and his face is just like, holy crap. He's just in awe of what he just saw. He just like, and he's like turning around, looking to the people around him. He's like, you saw that too, right? Yeah, there's this dude, he's my man.
I was almost more, frankly, the fact that Buffalo scored a touchdown to take the lead was so unsurprising to me.
Yeah.
I just kind of shrugged. Said, oh, good, Dawson Knox caught the touchdown.
Honestly, the big surprise was the fact that Mahomes was picked off twice in the end zone that game.
Well, once
in the end zone and once
to
trying.
End the most shocking part to me was that the drive ended in one play. Yeah. I'm like, surely, if Buffalo wins this game, they're going to have to make like a fourth down stop on their own end of the field. The only way you're beating the Chiefs here by stopping their offense is... you're going to grind it out. You're going to have to really fight till the end and keep them out of your end zone. And nope, they're like, how about first play we intercept it and everyone goes home?
Here's what's kind of funny.
Okay.
Here's what's kind of funny. So Josh Allen famously now is known for playing his college ball at Wyoming. Taron Johnson, who intercepted that pass to end the game, Weber State University. Just down the road from us. It's actually 3 hours from where we live. It's just funny. I love it when the non-mainstream schools get some play. Love it.
And speaking of some schools, some college football happenings. Alabama losing to Tennessee.
If you didn't watch that game, there are people
mm-hmm.
who say, I don't really like college football, and I want to show them that game and go, really? You don't like this? You don't like this right here that's going on for 3+ hours? Holy crap. That was a treat.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a treat to watch. The whole thing. 3+ hours, Neyland Stadium, checkerboard, 104,000, whatever it is. And then they pull it off and win. And what was it, 52-49 or mm-hmm. some crap like that?
On a field goal.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. What a What a scene. And then they come down and they tear the goalpost down. And they knew that they talked about it happening before it even happened. That's what I love about America. It's like, yeah, this if this happens, then this is going to happen. Well, we should prevent that. Nah. Let them celebrate. In fact, somebody brought up, well, there's a $100,000 fine if they storm the field. Well, you know that's happening.
Yeah.
If they win. And then the goalpost costs like 15, 20 grand a piece or something like that to replace them. And I'm like, well, that's going to happen.
And while the rest of America was all celebrating that because we collectively are Alabama haters.
Yeah.
It's what we do as a society.
Well, there's lots of reasons.
It's just what you do. The same reason we all hate the Yankees.
And the Cowboys.
We hate the Cowboys. Dallas. And most of the country was in unison. We all shook hands and said, so while Brady and Belichick are winning Super Bowls, we're all Patriot haters, right? We all hate the Lakers and the Celtics, and it's just what we do. So while the rest of America celebrated that, I was watching my own personal Saturday salvation game because Notre Dame lost. So the only thing that was going to save my evening.
And who beat him again?
Stanford.
Stanford's always good for one head-shaking win a season.
God. But saving my Saturday. First of all, Illinois got another win. They're up to 6-1.
Yeah,
you were much righter about Illinois this year than I was.
They're going to be up pushing top 20 now. I think
they're going to make the Big Ten championship game at this rate.
They could.
I mean, yeah, they've got Michigan coming up. That might be a conference loss, but other than that, I looked at the remaining schedule. They are at worst going to lose two games in the conference on the year, and they're going to be at the top of that Western. I mean,
good for them.
They're going to play Purdue head to head. That'll pretty much be for the West division to see who goes to the Big Ten championship. I don't really see Illinois losing to Purdue.
You never know.
You never do. Notre Dame just lost to freaking Stanford. But USC beaten by Duke's.
Oh, yeah,
Utah,
right.
Utes.
Yeah, going for two. The gambling Whittinghams. See, they're so...
That was the college football equivalent of, oh, my Bears lost. But the Jets beat the Packers.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I felt like that one was going to happen the whole time. In fact, I picked Utah, my college pick'em. You know, when you... We're in that region. Salt Lake City is 200 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And I can name you, I mean, Ron McBride was the head coach at Utah when I first really started paying attention. And then he was replaced, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And then they get Urban Meyer, and he kind of turned them to the direction of what they are now. But people forget, Kyle Whittingham took over after Urban Meyer, and they're just like, oh, well, that, you know, there's no way they can have that sustain. What he's done at Utah is pretty dang amazing. They have been so good since he's been the head coach. And the irony of the whole thing, a BYU linebacker. Coaching at Utah, just crazy stuff. I always think it's crazy.
Well, we can jump right into our Amazon Prime game of the week here, Dal. This week, we might get more offense, but who knows? Probably we will. But who knows? Cardinals taking on the Saints.
So who's... Does it matter who's going here first? Me or you? Does it matter?
I don't think so. We're tied.
Okay.
I'm taking New Orleans.
I am too. And the reason why is Kyler Murray plays for the other team.
granted, his opponent in this game is very likely Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's done fine. He's done fine. Just fine. I would even say above average. But
the Saints will be very likely without Jarvis Landry, without Michael Thomas.
It doesn't matter.
Chris Olave is questionable.
They're so used to being without these guys at this point. It just doesn't matter. But here's the thing about Arizona. There's certain teams in the league.
Both of these teams coming off some fairly gut-wrenching losses,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, that's true. But both of these teams are... The Cardinals are a team among many who went out and they wrote that big $250 million check or commitment to their quarterback because Kyler Murray threw a little hissy fit over the last, you know, season and a half. He wanted his contract, blah, blah, blah. You're 2-4, dude. And name something that Kyler Murray has done this season in particular that's made you go, wow, I can see why they're paying him $250 million a year.
Yeah.
Nothing. And he's got talent around him. The issue is, one, I think he's overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you have a guy coaching
who's awful.
He didn't even have a winning record at Texas Tech.
No. And then he got a promotion from that.
And please keep in mind, their first shot at quarterback when they drafted was Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
They picked him and then they shipped him away the next season because they're like, wow, we can't have anybody thinking that we're that stupid. And yet he's still kicking around. I'm just saying, that guy's not an NFL quarterback. Mm. He shouldn't be anywhere near a facility. It's a quarterback. Maybe if he wants to sweep up afterwards, I have no issue with that. You know, I can do that. He can do that. But there's these quarterbacks and these franchises that went out and wrote these huge checks. They're one. Denver's another one. They go and they trade, what, 3 number ones and then extend Russell Wilson until the end of time. And he looks
like... Which is going swimmingly,
and he looks like warmed over garbage. So he comes out, they're recording this on Tuesday, so he comes out last night, and on the first drive, he let go, he was 10 for 10.
In the first quarter,
Nine different receivers, touchdown, and it's like, whoa, there's the Russell Wilson.
That did not last.
That they were paying for. And then the rest of the game combined, I think he had 5 completions?
Mm.
5 in 3 quarters!
Just so we're clear, I lost in fantasy football by less than 1 point because of a check down to Austin Eckler. The Broncos, if they just drive down the field and kick a stupid field goal on either of the drives they had, my kicker would have won me my week in fantasy football.
That actually happened for me, too. I had Brandon McManus, and I would have won, but nope.
Also, them punting when they had a shot at a 57-yard field goal, when you have the NFL kicker who's currently alone with the longest field goal in NFL history.
Yeah. Anyway, my team kind of swung and whiffed on a quarterback too, but at least they only whiffed on 2 third-rounders and $23 million instead of 3 or 4 first-rounders and $250 million. So, at least there's that. That's what Commanders fans are cheering for this week. Anyway, Kyler Murray, you're overrated. You're going to lose to the Saints.
So we're both enjoy it. We're both picking the Saints, which is probably the death nail to poor New Orleans,
yeah,
because that's what happens every time we're in agreement.
It's probably 100% lock that Arizona will win.
Yeah, look what we've done.
And a 500-yard game for Kyler Murray.
This game looks very interesting. I'm still going to take the home team here, despite the fact that Atlanta, sneaky, sneaky little Falcons, where did you come from?
Yeah, seriously. And they looked...
A couple of solid wins,
and
too.
And they looked so bad in week one. Wow, they looked bad. It's like...
They almost won.
Yeah, but they still look terrible, if not for Cordarrelle Patterson. And he's not even in.
No, I am still going to take the Bengals, though.
I'm taking the Bengals, but, you know, nice job, Falcons. You're not as terrible as people thought you'd be.
Yeah, if Atlanta wins this game, it won't shock me. I'll just sit there and go, oh.
I would be disappointed because this is in Cincinnati and the Bengals need this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm counting on a sense of urgency.
I think that roughing the passer on Grady Jarrett has pissed off the entire Atlanta Falcons team.
But in this game, Logan Wilson, if you're listening, which you're not, I expect an interception from you against Mariota this week. I expect one from you.
Detroit at Dallas. I'm not falling for it anymore. I'm just going to assume Detroit's a bad football team until... You know, I'll just do that for the rest of the year and just take my couple of upsets that they'll get.
Yeah, that's probably...
And just take it on the chin.
That's a good way to look at it.
I'm so sick of trying to decide what Detroit is in some way. Let's just assume you're awful and that you will find a way to lose this football game. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys, and I threw up a little bit. Not that I love Detroit... But
I'm the same way. I'm taking Dallas. It's because it's in Dallas. They're coming off a loss to the Eagles. I think they're a more complete team. They're at home. They may have Dak Prescott playing. They may not.
I believe the Cowboys actually have a better road record under Prescott's tenure, though, than they do at home.
But I don't think it's going to matter this week. I think Dallas bounces back and they win. But like you said, would we really be that surprised if Detroit went in and won that game? I wouldn't, but I'm not picking them.
Of course, the last time we saw Detroit, they were getting shut out and looked like the worst team in football.
Yeah, so that's true.
I might be a little surprised. Maybe my eyebrow will raise slightly. I would be that level of surprised. Yeah, like that. Titans-Colts. I should pick the Colts just because they were my pick to win the division during our preseason division winners thing we did. I'm not going to, though. I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans to win this football game.
I'm picking the Titans because Mike Vrabel, he does a good job. The Titans are solid. Tannehill is better than people think, and you got Derrick Henry. I think they have more. So that I'm going with that, too. Wow, we're not being very clashy today.
I'm waiting for the one game where we...
We already know this.
That decides our week.
Well, we already know this next one we're picking the same, because you hate Green Bay and I'm cheering for Washington.
Oh, I don't pick with what I want to win, though.
Oh, well, then this is it then.
Yeah, I'm taking Green Bay.
Oh, there it is.
Pure fear. Well, go Dal, then. I hope you take the lead on me with this
Thanks.
Game.
That's nice of you to say. Are you kidding? Green Bay is screwed. This is the fighting Taylor Heineke's now.
Yeah. Listen, if Green Bay loses this football game, it is officially acceptable for me to start the ha 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 parade. Like, all right, Green Bay, you're done. You're cooked. The end.
As bad as Washington has looked, I think there are some things. Brian Robinson Jr.
The one thing you do have, though, that I'm very much looking forward to, Washington's pass rush is quite good.
They're starting to round into form.
And I am looking... First of all, the Jets put Rodgers on his back on literally every single snap of that football game. I am looking so forward to watching Aaron Rodgers make more faces at his sideline as his helmet's halfway up his head. And maybe he'll Tom Brady and he'll yell at his offensive lineman and
tighten
then
your
lose
chin
anyway.
Strap, Aaron. It's partially your fault.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm not picking that it will be great, but I'm hoping that it will be great.
Next one's a no-brainer. Tampa Bay. Look, I don't know what it is. So I learned this week.
Every time that we say no-brainer, though, we end up looking like we have no brain.
But did you know Tom Brady? I did not know this until after the game. Like, and I'm paraphrasing the numbers because I can't remember exactly, but for his career against the Steelers, he's like 12-28 or something like that. He didn't win against the Steelers very often.
He always beats them in the playoffs.
But it was just interesting. I didn't know that. He has like this monstrous gap, this chasm of win-loss against the Steelers, and they beat him again.
Actually, he does have a winning record against Pittsburgh.
What am I looking at then?
I don't know. The only team he had a losing record against was the Denver Broncos.
Oh, what am I thinking?
Maybe you're thinking of like his touchdown interception ratio or
maybe.
Something.
Well, I screwed up somewhere. Anyway, yeah. I was shocked at the number. Well, now I sound then there's an example of you don't know? Just Google it, Dal.
Come on, Dal.
Just Google it.
You've got a laptop right in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, me too.
If for no other reason than even though they've not been what we thought they would be, my God, is Carolina awful at literally everything.
Well, they fired their coach. They got Steve Wilkes.
It solved nothing.
They got Steve Wilkes, who's already kicked one player off his team, and then they traded him the next day. Going to Arizona, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And who's your quarterback this week? It's not Baker Mayfield. It's not Sam Darnold.
I think whoever wins the pregame raffle.
It's going to be ugly because Tampa Bay's defense is, I think they'll be out for blood. I think that one's over early.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey still auditioning for the other 31 teams in the NFL.
I wouldn't take him. Nope.
I still say that the one team, even though it will hurt my Josh Allen points in fantasy football, the one team that makes the most infinite amount of sense to me is Buffalo. What does Buffalo need draft picks for with that roster they've got?
Do you know what?
Right now?
Do you know what would happen if Buffalo traded for Christian McCaffrey? He would get hurt the first series.
I'm just saying, the risk reward there. If you're Buffalo, you're like, we'll give you a first round pick, and we'll give you the 32nd pick in next year's draft. Yeah. Here you go.
Nice.
Thank you for our whatever a top three running
maybe
back in the NFL.
Maybe they're waiting to see if he's still healthy by the trade deadline.
I was about to say, and Buffalo wouldn't have to run him ragged the way Carolina does and get him hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Buffalo's offense would be unstoppable. Look at that. We've got a running back, and we've got the top quarterback in 2022.
I think they already are unstoppable.
The top receiver, at least in yardage, of 2022. We've got this supreme offense, and our defense is number one, too, oh, by the way. And, look at that. Suddenly Christian McCaffrey's on our team. Good luck, everybody else.
Hey, for all we know, though, he'd be a cancer, and he'd wreck the whole thing.
He seems like a perfectly nice dude.
Oh, yeah, he seems like it.
I've never heard a single red flag thing about Christian McCaffrey.
Neither have I, but, I don't know.
Giants-Jaguars.
Oh.
We call this one the Coughlin Bowl.
What the heck?
I'm taking New York, by the way.
What the heck with the Giants?
Yeah, no one knows if the Giants are any good. All we know is that they keep winning.
All we know is
that
they're 5-1.
Yeah.
5-1.
This is going to be the worst 14-3 team you've ever seen in all your life.
Yeah, I think it's kind of trending that way. There's part of me that really wants to pick Jacksonville. Because there's got to be a letdown somewhere. I'm doing it.
Go ahead.
I'm picking Jacksonville.
All right. Sounds like a plan. You've got Tom Coughlin's current team. I'll take his Super Bowl team.
That's fine.
And we'll call it a day. I think Saquon Barkley is going to do unspeakable things to that Jaguar defense.
Maybe. Or maybe he'll pull a hamstring.
Whose?
His.
Oh, okay.
Here's the Modell Bowl, which means different things in different cities, by the way.
Yeah.
In Baltimore, it means owner of the team. In Cleveland, it means a number two. I'm going to go take a Modell. They hate that man there.
Unfortunately, though, another man they probably hate is Lamar Jackson, who shreds the Cleveland Browns.
He does, but the last two games, he has lost the game for the Ravens. It's been kind of weird.
He hasn't been playing the Browns.
That's true.
Yeah. And the Browns are finding the most humiliating way to... The most humiliating loss of like three consecutive weeks has belonged to the Cleveland Browns. They are finding ways to go into games as favorites and lose anyway. And now they don't even have that. Now they're massive underdogs in Baltimore. I'm taking the Ravens.
I am too.
I think Lamar Jackson... If you're a Lamar Jackson owner in fantasy and you're like, dang it, 2 weeks in a row under 15, this is the week where you go, oh, good, I won this week.
Yeah, start him twice.
Yeah, I forgot to start any running backs and I won anyway.
Oh, my gosh. This next matchup.
My phone went black. Let me turn it back on.
Jets at Denver.
Oh, baby. I picked up the Jets defense.
I cannot.
In fantasy football, because the Bills are on a bye, I have the Jets defense in two leagues, and here's why: they're playing the Broncos. So I'm riding high with the Jets. I'm picking the New York Jets to win this football game. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Get them going, Fire Marshal Ed.
I just don't know how I could possibly pick Denver in this game. With what you've seen, with what we've seen. There is such a mismanagement of what's going on, and that's even if they were playing well, which they're not. All right, yeah,
I think Nathaniel Hackett has a real case to be called the worst head coach in the NFL right now. And just so we're clear, Josh McDaniels is
coaching
an NFL team right
now. I'm picking the Jets. I hope that Zach Wilson throws for 5 interceptions and the Jets win. How about that?
As long as Wilson reciprocates, because I could use the fantasy points. Speaking of Josh McDaniels, though, mm-hmm. I've got him backpedaling his way to a victory this week.
Yeah, they're at home versus Houston. That one seems pretty... You never know. This could be one of those Davis Mills 400-yard game kind of things.
As far as we know, no punishment on Davante Adams at this time. So hopefully he's playing and, again, for my fantasy team, decides to just shred the Houston defense. That would be lovely of him if he could. I'd love it if the Raiders threw more than three passes a game to him, though.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not aware of this, Vegas, but he's actually really good at football.
Well,
if you'd like to just throw the ball to him.
I would say the same thing about Washington. It's like, why extend Terry McLaurin if you're not going to throw him the ball?
I know lots of Ja'Marr Chase fantasy owners have been whining that the Bengals seem to be ignoring him on purpose. And so this week they go down to New Orleans, they play the Saints, they get down by big, and then what do? They said, didn't we go to the Super Bowl by just, like a video game, you're like, well, I spam the circle button
yeah.
when I'm in a pinch. They said, we're just going to spam Ja'Marr Chase, open or not. Joe, your new job is just spam Ja'Marr Chase with footballs. Oh, look at that. We came back and we won.
Oh, it worked.
By the way, speaking of red zone, I had to look that play up too. It cuts to the Bengals going for a two-point conversion. And he said, following a Bengals touchdown, we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's just go live to their two-point conversion. They then never showed the touchdown. So later on, I looked up highlights. I said, well, how'd they score that touchdown to win the football game? And it turned out it was like they threw a two-yard hitch to Chase, who broke two tackles and took it 60 yards for a touchdown because he's Ja'Marr Chase. And I said, and Red Zone never felt the need to show me that play?
And you see, you've been kind of Mr. Red Zone the last few weeks. So, yeah, you've definitely been disappointed with him this week.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the team that has confused me the most in the entire league is one of our next picks, the Seattle Seahawks.
The Geno Smiths.
Who saw the... I mean, seriously, they've already won a game or two where you're like, wow, good for them. How in the heck did they win this? And they won it by double digits.
It's because I picked up Kenneth Walker in all of my fantasy leagues, and I am now unstoppable.
I can't believe that they're playing as well as they're playing. I thought they would be like the worst. I thought they were going to be like the number one pick bad.
Speaking of fantasy, in one of my leagues, my two running backs are Austin Eckler and Kenneth Walker this week.
Well,
and here they are, baby. I'm taking the Chargers, by the way. Seattle is fun. They will ruin your pick 'em for you. I'm just going to have to try and hope that they don't this week because yeah. I can't pick Seattle. If Seattle's going to do anything, they're just going to upset the Chargers.
Yeah.
But...
I'm going Chargers too, and hopefully they remember to throw it to Mike Williams this week.
I think Keenan Allen's coming back.
If they had thrown it to Mike Williams literally like one more time in this last game, I would have won my week. Thank you for that, you pieces of crap.
Now this one is sneaky interesting to me. Maybe other people are interested in this game. I dig the style matchup of 49ers Chiefs. I like Kyle Shanahan, first of all.
You should pick the Niners, then.
Oh, I'm so tempted to.
Do it. Do it.
Chiefs are coming off a loss,
though.
Do it. Oh.
Come on, that's hobbita, style.
Hobbita, hobbita,
style. And?
I'm going to do it. I'm picking the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan's going to get it done.
Good
He's
for
running
you.
The ball down their throats. Hey, the Chiefs fear the fullback, Dal.
Good for
they
you.
They fear the fullback.
It's locked in, right? Good for you.
I can still change it on Saturday when you're not looking.
Chiefs are going to shred the 49ers this week. Chiefs!
I'll take Shanahan and the boys.
And I will take this win.
Dal's confidence is delicious.
Kansas City ain't losing that game.
It is in San Francisco, which may help. And just so we're clear, the two teams that have given Kansas City fits in two straight weeks have been two teams that decided, you know what we should do? Let's just get in the I formation and run it right up the middle. And who on earth likes to do that more than the San Francisco 49ers?
It's true.
This isn't even a game plan for the 49ers. They're just like giddy. They're like, oh, look at that. That thing I already do. That's their weakness? Oh, perfect.
I can take this next week off. Pittsburgh at Miami, supposedly Tua. is
oh god, to try these primetime games. The
yeah,
state
bad.
Of you, the NFL.
What the heck, schedule makers?
I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins. Yes, Pittsburgh beat Tampa, and we all giggled, and we all said, Pittsburgh's awful. They're a terrible, terrible football team this year. Mike Tomlin looks like he's ready to retire by week 8.
You do have to give credit to Mitch Trubisky, though, for coming back and winning
Money
that
Mitch.
Game. He looked good.
He looked like a fine NFL quarterback.
I'm picking Miami as well, although the whining that's taken place all season long about one sideline being extra hot and one side not, this is a night game. It's not going to matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still picking the Dolphins.
Yeah, and then the very next day, I think the AFC East keeps up their hot streak. I think I picked...
How on earth is this the Monday night game?
Oh, good heavens. Well, Denver has been on 5 primetime games this
Which
year.
Is somebody... You know, somebody had
and now Chicago's back-to-back weeks.
Somebody had to pay a bet for that one.
So I at least get to enjoy my Sunday this week because the Bears can't possibly have lost yet or ruin it.
What if Green Bay wins?
Oh.
See? But they won't.
You've saddened me, Dale.
They won't.
Look, this is a real tear. I can squeeze it out
Washington,
of
Washington's going to improve to 3-4, baby.
Let's go. I have never been more excited for any prospect in my life.
New England.
I am taking the New England Patriots.
Man, you're pathetic. Don't even choose your own team.
This is pick 'em.
Yeah.
Not want 'em.
I don't care. No loyalty. No faith.
Speaking of, apparently someone on a Packers Reddit thread, it's the most whatever, like liked or up, whatever they call it on Reddit, post on the Packers thread right now is a fan who posted, it is perfectly acceptable to simply stop watching this team. If you need to bandwagon another team, go ahead. And then he goes, sports are designed, the purpose of sports is to make you happy. And if the Packers aren't making you happy, just root for a different team. And I have never laughed so hard at anything in all my life. Because then someone replied with a photo of a science textbook talking about a gerbil or a hamster. And it said, if given even a mild amount of stress, the hamster will die. And that was his reply to this Packer fan after one season of the Packers now being bad. Let's just jump ship,
and
guys.
And we don't even know if they're bad yet, honestly.
If given a mild amount of stress... The hamster will die.
That's sort of like, I follow her on Twitter, Annie Agar. I don't know if you follow her. She's really funny. She does these, she's funny on Twitter. Anyway, but she had like one of those heartfelt, face the camera with her Packers jersey on and said, I'm retiring as a Packers fan. I can't handle this anymore, blah, blah, blah. And I'm watching this and I go, how old is this? She's like, she's not even 30. So in other words, she's like 20, but somewhere in her mid-20s. So her entire life, her quarterbacks have been Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's retiring after the Packers lose. Anyway, so I just responded with the meme that's making the rounds. It's from the scene from The Passion of the Christ. The backs, you've seen it, right? And it has Mel Gibson talking to Jim Caviezel, who's playing Jesus in the movie. Well, it's during the scene where, let's just say Jesus is having a real bad day.
Yeah.
And he's all bloodied up, whipped, beaten. Anyway, and then there's the meme, the Mel Gibson guy sitting there. It's like teams complaining about their, or fans complaining about their NFL team. And then under Jim Caviezel and Jesus, it says, Commanders fans. It's just like, yeah, sorry, Annie. I'm sorry, your team is what, 2-4 or whatever they are?
I think the Packers are 3-3.
Okay, they're 3-3. When I left the house, my brother's house on Thursday when Washington won, I was yelling, we're 2-4! I was excited. 2-4! And she's retiring at 3-3. Come on, Annie.
Sometimes you must.
Show some longevity, would you?
Can't do it. Sorry.
I want you to get excited for the Jordan Love era.
I know I am.
I just, Anyway, these kids today, retiring.
Listen, I have literally watched, I want to say, 4 seasons since 2002 when I was conscious enough to begin watching football games. 4 times have the Bears ever made the playoffs in that span?
Yeah, I don't. You're still... How many times do you think my team's made the playoffs?
But you're old enough to remember a Super Bowl victory for your team.
I'm old enough to remember 3 of them.
I would milk one Bear. If the Bears had beaten the Colts in that Super Bowl, I could have been milking that happiness to this day.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm so beaten down.
But, yeah. But let's be honest. We have the worst owner in sports. Although, I keep reading articles. Something's going to happen. Oh, been reading those for about 2 years.
Jerry Jones gave a whole speech today, by the way, at the league meeting, the owners meeting, defending Dan Snyder.
So rereading between the lines, Dan Snyder clearly has damaging information on Jerry Jones. Like bad stuff. Like he donated to the Taliban or something. It's bad.
Oh, good times. Good. The NBA starts tomorrow, by the way.
Actually, well, starts tonight.
Oh, my.
There's a couple
the
of
Bulls
games.
Don't start till
the Bulls
tomorrow.
Don't start. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the NBA gets going. What are your thoughts on the Bulls? What do you think they're going
to
do?
I think they are going to get all our hopes up and probably lose in round one of the playoffs. Did they do anything during the offseason to improve? And by the way, last year's team, do we really think we're getting that DeMar DeRozan run again?
Probably not.
Yeah.
The thing that makes me sad is they have either he or this, it's just bad luck. I don't know. But Ball's injury has, they don't even know. They don't even know what's wrong with him.
Yeah, he's turned into that one weird year of Andrew Luck. Well, so, remember that? When yeah. No one knew what was wrong with
yeah.
him?
It's like, but it hurts. Well, that's not good. So, anyway, yeah, they actually open up, let's see, what day's today? Oh, so they open up Wednesday against the Heat. They're on the road against the Heat.
Hooray!
Good news for the Heat, probably.
Yeah, we finally beat the Bucks in a preseason game the
other day.
We
also have to talk postseason baseball for just a minute.
Oh,
First off, we're recording this Tuesday. Today,
here in a few minutes, they're throwing out first pitch, Yankees-Guardians, Game 5.
Yeah, the Guardians need to win that game.
I straight up do not care who wins the American League. I hate all 3 of these teams so much.
But here's the thing. If it's the Yankees and the Astros, I mean, you literally can't watch that.
I'm not going to watch it anyway. I'm just going to wait until the National League winner is decided and pour my entire soul into rooting for that team in the World Series.
There is part of me that likes Cleveland.
I cannot stand Cleveland.
They have been beaten down for so long.
For so long, they're the winningest team in that division. Like, in history.
Since when?
In history!
I'm just saying...
They have more division titles than any of us in the Central.
They haven't won a World Series since 1948.
Yes, but they win the division quite often.
Whoop-de-doo.
And I want Josh Naylor shot from a cannon out into the middle of the... I hate Josh Naylor.
Okay.
I cannot stand that guy.
I will say this. I'm pulling for the Padres overall.
Maybe
they're the NL West. I'm an NL West guy. We spoil for the Rockies. That they're technically a baseball team. but I guess I kind of written the Padres off. They were swooning after they picked up Juan Soto.
They just became the first team in the history of baseball to lose every single regular season series against an opponent against a division rival. And then win the playoff series
ever?
Against that. They're the only team. The Dodgers won all 6 regular season series.
That doesn't surprise me.
And the Padres beat them in the playoffs.
They were swooning. They backpedaled into the postseason. And then for them to be now a chance to go to the World Series, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I was wrong about that bye, by the way. I thought that was going to be the biggest cheat code in the history of sports. I'm like, oh my goodness, you'll have your entire rotation entirely rested and ready to go against some team that just got done playing and is going to play like their fourth pitcher against you on the first game? That bye is going to be so overpowered in baseball. The National League says no. The American League, we might be getting the one versus the two, so whatever. But the National League says no. The bye means nothing.
So, college football. Let's touch on college football. Is that okay?
No.
I love college football. I love the Wyoming Cowboys. They've had a week off. I miss them. They get to come back this week.
You should have watched Illinois whoop up on Minnesota.
I kind of did.
Oh, very nice.
I'm excited. It's homecoming for the Pokes, and so many storylines as they host Utah State. You may not know this, Aaron, but last year, Wyoming, right after they won their bowl game, just a mass exodus of portal transfers. And one of those was the guy who had won the bowl game for them, Levi Williams. He was the Potato Bowl MVP. And the day after, like, we're driving home. I'm driving home from Boise. And he announced he's going to the portal. It was just a real sucker punch. And then he ends up going to Utah State, an in-conference. Anyway, and then the backup, who had started for Utah State, decided, you know what, I want a chance to start. So he goes in the portal. He ends up at Wyoming. He wins the starting job. Andrew Peasley has been the starter this year. It's possible they play each other this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because Utah State, Williams did not win the starting job. In fact, I think he was third string. But they've had some injuries. We don't know who's going to play for Utah State. But I'm excited for this. The Pokes are 4.5-point favorites, which is crazy to me right now. Well, we never get to be favorites. But that one come up on Saturday night. It's homecoming. And go Cowboys. If they win, this would be win number 5. And it would put them by themselves in second place in the Mountain Division of the Mountain West. And basically put them in charge of their own destiny for the second half of the season to still maybe win that championship. They host Boise in November. So that game will be in Laramie. So anyway, but this is a big one. They need it. Go Pokes. Hopefully they can get it done.
As for Notre Dame, they're taking on UNLV.
They'll destroy UNLV.
If they manage to find a way to get upset in that game,
they won't.
Go ahead and disband the football program.
That's a Mountain West team. Now, UNLV started 4-1.
Oh, very nice.
And everybody was like,
they are still called UNLV, well, and you are called Notre Dame.
Well,
win by 40!
But everybody was starting to think, oh, well, and they are. They're better. But better than what? They were better than they were. They've been blown out of the water the last two games by good Mountain West teams, San Jose State, Air Force. They shouldn't even be able to carry Notre Dame's water. Where is that game?
South Bend.
Yeah, that's going to be a blowout.
Where, by the way, all of our losses are this year.
What's the point spread on it?
Oh, I don't know. No idea.
I need to know.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up because I might actually put money on Notre Dame.
A fruitless effort in this particular season, Dal. But you go right ahead.
They're so bad. Okay. Notre Dame, UNLV. Ooh, 25 points. Do I take?
Michael Mayer will need 5 touchdowns by himself for that to go down.
Well, he'll probably have all... It's funny you say that, because that's what the pick center says. They're saying Notre Dame, 35.6 points. UNLV, 11.6 points. That's the separation of 25 points.
Yeah, and all of them will be Michael Mayer on a crossing pattern, then he'll just break 5 tackles and score, because he's our whole offense.
Maybe I'll bet on that one, but I think you'll be happy with the outcome of that one. How's that?
Sounds good. I'll be most unhappy, by the way, that I'm enjoying Michael Mayer. I love watching him play football. I cannot imagine a world in which he experiences this year. knowing full well that if he comes out, he's a first-round pick in the NFL draft and coming back for his senior year next year. To do this all again...
Yeah.
I fear that we've wasted our final year of having Michael Mayer...
Probably.
...as a tight end at Notre Dame. But at least I can watch him run over some more scrawny college kids for a few more games. That'll be fun.
And he will run over some this week.
Yeah.
95.3%. According to ESPN, for that matchup, by the way.
Woo!
95. That is like brown-nosing the teacher percentage. that's a lot. Anyway, we've
I think that was pretty much everything, so... Yeah,
we've hit our hour.
You go ahead and check us out every Tuesday / Wednesday / every other week / every week / I think once it was a Thursday night, we got this thing posted. We try to be consistent, I promise. We give it an attempt.
We do what we can.
To be on Spotify, YouTube, and SVINews.com / podcasts. See you all next time.